You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now Roy is a chum when he's on the rum. He's the glue when we spring a leak. And Stu is a mess, he does less and less. And Greg sounded worse each week. Pirate radio with the ship and crew. We got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. For the pirate radio.
Morning, boys and girls.
Morning, Stugatz.
Hello, Smitty, you got everyone sick.
I did not get anyone sick.
Hang on a second.
What?
This is a subject of controversy.
Okay. What's the controversy? She's sick and everyone else is sick.
I'm shocked you didn't go with controversy or something there.
It's early, Bill.
Everyone wants to blame my poor, sweet, innocent 19-month-old daughter, Juliet, which I disclosed, by the way, prior to everyone getting in cars and headed over to Killian, that she had a runny nose and was sick instead of the 60-degree room that we were subject to for several hours for a Metalark meeting indoors, might I add, during a pandemic last week.
Did you hear me blame that angel of yours? I did not.
No. Okay. And you're sick, aren't you?
Yeah, I got a runny nose. Yeah. I mean,
it was definitely Smets.
Yep.
Why would it be me if Whittingham's also sick? Why am I?
Well, Whittingham would obviously get sick if you were carrying something because he took you on that duck boat tour around South Florida.
Right, your personal escort. I mean, seriously. Jesus.
Why would Stu be sick then, Mike?
Because he was around Whitty. Yep. And he was around you. And it, obviously, we all caught this at the Tuesday meeting, for sure. It couldn't be my 19-month-old beautiful daughter that is still sick, by the way, that kept me up all night with a fever. Couldn't be her.
Wow. Did she get your daughter sick?
I think Smetana gave my daughter something that was far worse because she was coming out of it.
Right.
The timeline does not check out here, Mike. Check the tape.
Right. So we were all warned before we went to go watch the Champions League semifinal second leg between Chelsea and Real Madrid. Hey, my daughter is sick, but you can come over anyway. And you know what? We took that gamble, but then we all got sick. And you can't say that, you know, we are patient zero in some respects when the first person to get sick was Mike's beautiful daughter, Juliet.
Mike also downplayed this illness. I was thinking, Mike said she had a runny nose. And then we got there and I was like, oh, she has a runny nose and her cheeks are a little rosy. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. And I felt fine all weekend. It was only this morning when I woke up and then I also texted Whittingham and found out we were both sick. And there is a common denominator here. It is not me.
Oh, geez. You guys had a side group
the
chat.
Old side
a side chat just dragging my innocent daughter's name through the mud. And you've never seen Juliet prior
Despicable.
To. You have no idea how rosy her cheeks are naturally.
Yeah.
You have no idea about Juliet.
So
in fact, Roy, may I borrow your line? Keep my daughter's name out your mouth.
Yeah. Is that a yes, Roy?
Sure.
Roy. Panthers win game one.
They're hot, Roy. They're on fire, Roy.
Yeah.
Oh God.
At the table.
That was a fun game, man.
Oh, and Roy, guess what we got now? As if we needed anything else to hype us up between this matchup of in-state rivals featuring the defending Stanley Cup champion and the young upstart Ice Cats. Now we got a bit of poison.
Yep.
Oh, dirty hits, fights all around. This is a 9-game series that you're going to not want your child to be up for.
Oh,
put them to bed right now.
We're putting the kids to bed.
Yes,
Roy.
Yes. And Matt Caldwell and the Florida Panthers proper, in one of my hockey group chats, I have several. In one of my hockey group chats, we came up with one of the greatest playoff taglines ever. And you can have this one free of charge. Bolts, cats, this means rawr.
Wow. I can have that.
That's, you go ahead and try and do it. I don't think that you'll do it as well as Mike.
Well, Angel, we need to get on these shirts. You know, just a red and blue shirt, you know, so we're protected. Don't put a cat on there or anything like that. Maybe a hockey puck so it connotes playoff hockey. But this means rawr.
Bolts, cats, this means rawr. How about that, Dana?
I can't believe that Mike Ryan started with hockey over basketball. Are the Panthers up 1-0 in the best of nine after that 5-1 victory?
They're up 1-0.
They're 1-0. Yes, they're up 1-0.
Massive clash between the Bolts and Panthers yet again. I believe that game is tonight because
7:00. Mike, put in the bet early. I mean,
home ice is on the line for the Cats. If they win in regulation or in overtime, they're good. They can even afford to lose in overtime and maintain home ice in this massive clash between in-state rivals. Dan, I know you're going to be glued. What is your prediction headed into tonight's game?
Give it up. I do not do prediction.
Do it here. Come on.
Podcast.
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, my God. It's 2021. Get over yourself. Give a prediction.
Wow.
Well, you don't do prediction radio, but in the transition to podcast, do you maybe do prediction? I know you just said you don't do prediction podcast, but it's a whole new frontier.
Yeah.
Guys, he'd much rather talk about the games after they happen than guess.
What fun is that?
Well, you know what?
Did you see the game?
Let's play his game. Dan, what were your thoughts over this weekend's game between the Bolts and Cats?
I will check in when it is best of seven, because them going up
1-0. What's wrong with the best of nine?
If they go up 2-0 in a best of nine and they don't count. We're not going
they all
to
count, Dana.
No, they do count, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They don't count for whether or not they get eliminated or not.
I mean, home ice is going to go a long way. What I want to know is, are you going to wear this T-shirt if we print them up? Because it's a pretty fire idea.
No.
Come on.
Oh, come on, Dan.
Here, Bolts, which is the nickname of the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. Cats.
Yep.
We can go Ice Cats because that's my cute nickname for them, but we can just go Cats because it's four letters. This, period, means, period, and rawr, spelled R-A-W-R.
Will you wear it now?
No.
We support Angel. He's going to make the shirt for you.
But the thing with these shirts is no one will get them until well after the Panthers have been eliminated, right?
We actually had a pretty quick turnaround for the good shirt. Yeah. I don't think that this is the greatest marketing strategy to tell people that they're not going to get the shirt. And plus, Billy, we're anticipating this run going deep into the playoffs. In Carolina, you skated. Quite literally, because this was a shorter season. Yeah. And as impressive as it is to win the Central Division presented by Discover, if we played this thing out just maybe three more games, Panthers would have drug you down. That's right. Not a single counterpoint to that, because everyone agrees, Dan.
There is no counterpoint to that. No, I was waiting for Dan.
Deafening silence.
I'm still waiting for his thoughts on the game over the weekend.
Yeah. I mean,
give me your thoughts on it, Stugatz.
The Panthers were fantastic. I got to tell you, they have cranked up the defense. They are peaking at the right time. They have won five straight at exactly the time in the season that you want to win five straight. Headed into the playoffs with a big game. Game two of the best of nine tonight, 7:00, with the Tampa Bay Lightning. How about that? I recapped the game without saying a thing.
You didn't say anything about the game. You didn't say anything about the game.
They won.
You threw a bunch of sausage fingers at me. You said defense because they won 5-1, which is all the information I have. It was a bunch of smoke and mirrors, and you didn't give me anything else. You didn't give me a player's name. You didn't give me anything.
2 points, Dano. That's all I need to tell you. Win's a win. And we move on to game two of the best of nine against the Lightning.
Who's we?
Me and the Panthers, the Cats.
Really?
You're an Islanders fan.
I think you live closer to Tampa.
I know I do.
And I thought that you were an Islanders fan. I thought cat was named Smitty. He died after Billy Smith, the old Islander goalie. Like, who is we? Explain to me the entirety of we.
You know, Dan, I live in Broward County. I believe me and Chris are the only two who live in Broward County. And
not true. Not true.
Roy, do you live there?
I live in Miramar, yes.
Okay, good.
What's his wife's name?
Oh, it's Maria. She's fantastic. And so here's the deal for the people who live in Broward County. For the people in Dade, you have no idea how much this Panther team and this organization means to Broward County and the city of Sunrise. I'm just trying to get behind it. I mean, if I can get an Isles Panthers Eastern Conference Finals, if that's possible with the rules this season, listen, I'll take it.
I don't know. I still have no idea if there's an Eastern Conference or not. I think they're just divisions. I think we all put them in a pot, and then like after the second round, we figure it out.
All right. No conferences.
Wow. That's unfortunate.
Sawgrass and Miami are two very different places. Sawgrass, for those of you who don't know where the Panthers reside, it's
Sunrise, Florida, so you can lump Dan into that group.
It's on the edge of the Everglades.
Yeah.
And
you're thinking of the Sawgrass Mills Mall, which you're right. It's right at the edge of that
things,
mall.
There's
right.
two things going on in Sunrise. It's the BB&T Center, which I shouldn't have named because I would have loved to have quizzed you on that, and the Sawgrass Mills Mall.
Yeah, and Flanagan's.
You can quiz me on that. I learned. Tell me when it is that Miller Park in Milwaukee became American Family Field.
It's not Miller Park.
What? I just learned this.
What?
An American Family Field?
Oh, my God.
That feels good.
Two seasons ago, I believe.
The Brew Crew.
We actually call that Wrigley Field North in the Midwest.
Well, look at you, Coach Sam.
With a name like that, I kind of feel like I'm not invited.
I have since the 90s. I gave up. I remember where I was. I was at Candlestick Park when they started changing the name, and I'm like, that's it. I am done. It's not Candlestick. It hasn't been Candlestick Park since the 90s.
The stick.
Well, I think Candlestick Park has been torn down now. And it's, it's not PNC Field anymore. God, what is that beautiful park in San Francisco called?
AT&T?
Is it? That sounds right.
I believe so.
I feel like it's AT&T.
I feel like it's just a bunch of consonants.
Do you think that we could do a quiz on just names of ballparks? And that we can you check for me and just make sure that it is indeed American Family Field because
we can confirm your report.
Okay,
it's Oracle Park for San Francisco, by the way.
Wow,
really? What happened to AT&T?
Wow,
this is why I gave up in the 90s. I'm like, I'm not going with all of these sponsorships so that I have to know. Do you guys even know the names right now of all of the local stadiums? Because I'm dead serious when I tell you I gave up on this in the 90s. So I legitimately do not know if the American Airlines Arena of the Heat has now gone to the cryptocurrency.
I don't think it's been officially changed just yet. So I think you're okay if you call that American Airlines Arena still.
I know the baseball team that plays closest to me plays at a place called the Trop. How about that?
And how about the local one that plays closest to us over here? Do you know the new name of the sponsor for what used to be Marlins Park?
The Loan.
Do you know what? Go ahead. Keep going on the Loan.
That's all I got. The Loan.
Okay. What about where the Dolphins play? Do you know what that is named?
The Rock.
Yeah, there
how
you go.
How about that?
I don't know where the University of Miami men's baseball team plays.
No. The Lights.
It's Mark Light Stadium.
I think it's Alex Rodriguez.
Rodriguez
change
Park.
That thing as many times as they want. It's the Light. That's it. Okay. I don't care. A-Rod, this, that. It's the Light. Okay.
A-Rod, this, that should be the name of where the University of Miami baseball team plays. I agree with you.
Thank you.
I think the worst baseball park name is the White Sox Park. It's Guaranteed Rate Field. I cannot think of a least enticing place to watch baseball than at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Lone Depot Park's not, I'm just happy that they got any kind of sponsorship, but I don't know. But go ahead and put it on the poll, Guillermo. Worst name for a park, Guaranteed Rate Park or Lone Depot Park? Is anyone calling it the Lone?
I'm trying to get that one off the ground. I miss the good old days. Capitalism is ruined. These theaters of Titans clashing, Dan, because give me Wrigley Field. Give me, even though that was a sponsor too, wasn't it? Dodger Stadium. Give me that.
Wrigley Field's also still called Wrigley Field, Mike.
Soldier Field.
You can still give you Wrigley Field.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But I miss it. I miss being able to rat-a-tat-tat, rattle all these great stadiums. And now they change so much that it really sucks the fun out of it when the Cats and the Bolts do their battle at BB&T Center and, I'm going to say, Amalie?
Well, you can expect a change in that BB&T Center name because they're not even BB&T anymore. They're Truist now, apparently.
Oh, wow.
What? Man, things change quickly.
Yeah.
I'm floored that you guys, I like I said, 3 decades ago, I gave up on all of this, but I am floored that you guys haven't kept up on it because I did think back when I told you guys many years ago, I'm not paying any attention to this anymore. You guys all yelled at me that that's not something that I should do, that I should keep up with the names. And so you guys have all given up as well, or it's just moving so fast that you can't keep up?
I like The Rock. There was a moment in time there where there's still this subsect of people that is out. They'll still call it Joe Robbie no matter what.
Pro player. Some
pro
people
player. I was, pro player. And that it was named pro player several years after that company went out of business. But then we had Landshark and then Dolphin Stadium and then Dolphins Stadium.
Landshark was just 1 year, correct? Yeah. Landshark, was it? And which was the underwear company?
Pro Player was the underwear company.
Yeah, okay. Pro Player. And then there was, I think, SunTrust Stadium. It was SunTrust Stadium at one point. I like The Rock.
Sun Life. It was Sun Life.
Sun Life.
Sun Life, yeah.
Sorry.
I like The Rock as well.
Sorry to the fine people at Sun Life. So
there's also Dolphin and Dolphins at separate points.
Yeah, right. Steve Martin also.
And Steve Martin was also the problem.
Yeah. Hey, I'm off the hook.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike. And typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right. You crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
The Arizona arenas have some bizarre ones. The Gila River Arena is the home of the Yotes, and I believe the home of the Phoenix Suns is still Talking Stick Resort Arena.
Yeah.
Nice. Talking Stick is a random one.
Good use of
it's
the Yotes.
It's a big casino there.
Yeah. You go Yotes? I go Yotes, but Yotes is cute.
No, it's Yotes.
No, there's it's also Coyotes.
University of Phoenix Stadium. I don't know if it's still called that, but it's not in Phoenix. It's in Glendale, and that's where the Cardinals play. It's very confusing.
That's an outrage.
Whittingham would probably win this contest, right? If we did a quiz on stadium names and ballpark names, I'm gathering from the general ignorance of our group.
Yeah, I think he likes that type of stuff most. He pays it. He reads more than anybody here.
I think Chris could be a sneaky contender here.
You know what I want to do? Because this is a little...
Roll with it.
I'm not sure why you would say that. Because
why would he
did not...
I'm setting up a Chris versus Chris battle
but
here.
But he didn't engage. This means roar. He did not engage at all.
No, he didn't.
In any of the conversation.
I threw him right in, yeah.
I have no evidence whatsoever that Chris knows the name of a single stadium or ballpark based on that segment.
Sitting in meetings with John Skipper over the last week, he's obviously super impressive and a great leader and all the great accolades you could heap upon one person. But there is one thing that makes him seem extra smart, and that is that he talks to a group of people as if they read nearly as much as he is. Yeah. And so he's like, it's like in this book that I'm reading, and I just look over to Sugats to see if he nods along.
Yeah. Because
I think it's such a great like card to throw down that I'm going to start making up authors and books to see if I could catch people nodding along. Because Chris Cody, you were nodding along with some of the book references he was making.
We all were. I mean.
Chris Cody led the meetings and leads the country and nodding along when he doesn't know something.
So supportive. So supportive, these nods.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Do you nod along when someone says something that they expect you to know, but you don't actually know? Do you just fake your way through that? Mike, how have you stayed this quiet so far, 10 minutes through what it is that we're doing today, without talking about a couple of things? First of all, it's not just the way the Heat beat the Celtics, which is 79 first half points, and Jimmy Butler not taking a shot, basically treating the Celtics in the first half the way that he treated the Timberwolves in that one practice. But going back to earlier, when the Heat beat the Timberwolves, the back and forth in an empty arena where you can actually hear what Jimmy Butler was saying and could barely hear what Karl Anthony Towns was saying, where Jimmy says to him during the game, "You're soft as baby shit, loser. I already punked you once." And Karl Anthony Towns' only retort was to tell him to call Rachel Nichols. And after the game...
That's actually pretty good.
Not bad, right?
Because Jimmy did do that immediately following that practice. Jimmy, act like you've been there before. That was your first win against the Timberwolves in a Heat uniform. I mean,
and so he calls him soft as baby shit, calls him a loser, and says, "I already punked you once." And then after the game, they ask Karl Anthony Towns about that conversation. And Anthony Edwards, his teammate, comes in and answers the question for Karl Anthony Towns.
Ooh, bad look.
Yeah, a terrible look. But when Anthony Edwards, who's a bit of a young man, says...
He's 18, I think.
He never heard of A-Rod.
Says of... I'm not sure I believe that. Never heard of his new owner, one of the new owners of the Timberwolves, Alex Rodriguez. When he's answering that question for Karl Anthony Towns, that, of course, is a bad look. But his answer... of their grown-ass men, dog, when the conversation is, "You're soft as baby shit, loser," it's not exactly the most grown-ass man conversation that they were having. So the whole thing felt a little bit childish, but I imagine Heat fans loved Jimmy Butler doing that to Karl Anthony Towns, saying, "I already punked you once."
I've been talking myself into Jimmy Butler for 2 years now because he just wasn't a player that I liked because of how aggressive he is on the court in his game, and I've learned to appreciate all the things that he does. The Karl Anthony Towns thing, because they've kind of been classy on the court, but without fans, with fans in that stadium, you don't pick up on that exchange, I don't think. And that was real ugly. I kind of thought it was a bad look for Jimmy, like, unless he's still trying to motivate Karl Anthony Towns 2 years after the fact, which is like a real bizarre look for him.
He chalks it up to, "Hey, I'm just trying to help the kid
out. I'm still trying to bring out the best in Karl Anthony Towns."
There is no disputing that the words are mean and cruel, and Anthony Edwards can file it under competitive fire and guys talk trash. But when you hit Karl Anthony Towns with things that are mean and cruel, but also you're the reason that people think they're true... like the echo of that stings, like, yeah, that can't. And then you eat it in the press conference afterward when they're asking you about it. You've lost the game. He's called you a loser. You have this reputation because he did call Rachel Nichols after that practice in which he wore allegedly his Rolex watch during a practice that he never shot the ball.
We haven't confirmed that detail because that one's the most outrageous one of
the
them
best,
all.
Yeah.
He wore a timepiece while doing it.
Was it Jamal Crawford who claimed that there was a, I mean, the story, but in 25 years, what's the story going to be? He put a diaper on Karl Anthony Towns one time while he was moving through the
it
lane.
Keeps getting enhanced.
Like, I mean, he was wearing a top hat and a bejeweled scepter in one hand that he just poked Karl Anthony Towns. Like, it's going to keep getting better, that story.
Yeah, because the story grew from, okay, he beat them in practice, to then he beat them in practice with a bunch of reserves. Then he beat them in practice with a bunch of reserves without taking a shot. Then he beat them in practice with a bunch of reserves without taking a shot while wearing a timepiece.
He beat them in practice while playing with reserves and not wearing a timepiece, and then it's going to escalate accolade to. He beat them in practice and wasn't even there. He controlled the entire game.
He was hopping on one leg the entire time.
He had a timepiece on.
He was in Hawaii at the time on a surfboard. And
beat them via Zoom.
But yesterday, they take out the Celtics. And I really do think that this part is fascinating. And nobody cares, Stugatz. Nobody cares. But the cruelty to the body of what pandemic basketball did to these teams, where the Lakers are now injured. The most indestructible athlete of our time, LeBron James, is hurt. The Denver Nuggets are hurt. The Celtics are clearly not the same team. That the fact that all of the teams that went deep last year are broken,
yeah,
and have had seasons. Like, the Lakers had to summon something. They're the one team, I think, Stugatz. They beat Phoenix yesterday, and they're the one team that all of us think, okay, when the playoffs come, they can go to some other level. I don't think we believe that of any other team in the sport.
The Nets? I think a lot of people feel that way, Dan. You don't have much proof of it. In fact, you don't have any proof of it, but I think people do feel that way. If those three are healthy, they'll take their game to another level.
Be interesting to see how we reflect back on the bubble, because there were a couple of oddities there, and maybe it's because Anthony Davis, because of his injury history and where he's played, I hadn't seen a lot of him, and Cortez put this on my radar. Anthony Davis last year was a bit of a bubble fluke. That guy would just flatly wouldn't miss. Now, when you juxtapose his stats from last year to this year, obviously he doesn't have his legs, but it's a major problem. From his field goal percentage on long twos and threes has been 32% and 26% this year. In the playoffs, he was at 55.2% and 38.3%. That's jarring. That is a massive difference. He's not the same player right now. Now, can they turn it on? Is there a flip of the switch? Maybe. But if they have to play in a play-in round, that's just more games for those guys.
Who's the team that went deep in the bubble that appears to be in the best shape? Is it the Nuggets? And they lost Nuggets. Jamal Murray, right?
And they lost the player that became a superstar within the bubble.
A lot of people in that sport believe Porter can do a lot of
He's been great athletically.
I'm surprised to hear them say that, but I've heard a lot of people say it, that Porter is underutilized. His athleticism, like, people in that sport talk about the Denver Nuggets as having the best starting five in the sport in terms of athleticism and just general offensive greatness.
They're the team in the best shape, and the player that may win MVP in terms of just shape looks like no one we've ever seen in consideration for that award. This is like a soggy potato. Yeah.
Whoever's running that team, though, is a guy I would want running my team. Like, Jokic is a second-round pick. Will Barton's a second-round pick. They don't have, like, big-name players on that team. He built it through the draft with guys late in the first round and the second round.
Do you not find it interesting, though, when we do the measurements on these things, right? I have long said that across sports, which we consider a meritocracy, very often in the playoffs, the measurements aren't very good, but they're better in basketball than they are in any sport, where the best of seven, the better team tends to win in basketball. Do you guys not find it interesting that the last couple of years we've got this contaminated, corrupted schedule that sort of wrecks bodies, that turns this particular season into a season where the Lakers are barely making the playoffs? The Lakers, which we all know, all of us know, that with Anthony Davis and LeBron James as your centerpieces, you're one of the best teams in the league. The fact that that you can make a correlation between, if you played through the wreckage of last season, deep into this season, with no rest of the normal offseason, and then you go through this regular season, and the four teams, you've been frustrated with the Heat all season because they've been this kind of inconsistent, and you know the culture of the place. They will grit their teeth through this crap and go out there and play against the Celtics and give you that game yesterday where they beat up the Celtics in the first half. But the Celtics are broken. I don't recognize the Boston Celtics. Don't recognize them this entire season.
It's like that. There's this great book called Attrition by Pete Dickerson, in which he actually goes and does a numbers dive on what exactly the long-range shooting in the bubble meant quantifiably. Mm-hmm. And you keep adding, it's a real page-turner, Dan. Yeah. And if you good see read. This book, you'll absolutely know what's going on with these players' legs. Now, it was mitigated by the lack of travel, which helps some of this, but, I mean, players just haven't been the same. So I highly recommend that. It's on my Amazon book club.
What a terrible book that would have been.
Attrition? Are you kidding me? Well, sounds like a Tom Clancy movie.
Well, you mentioned this, and I thought of Stugatz just this weekend, actually, because Stugatz, I don't know if you know this or not, but Jason Statham, your boy,
yeah,
has a movie coming out because all we make in America is 50-year-old action stars.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't make him in America, Dan.
In America, all we make, though. Actually, that's right. It's a Guy Ritchie movie. The name of this movie is, and you're going to love this, Wrath of Man.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I almost went to the movies for that one. Almost went. We're getting in the movie calendar time now where you might actually have to start going to the movies for it. Almost went for that one. Dan, have you seen that? Is this available for rental?
Are they going to start putting movies back in the theaters and not... but not streaming.
I think I'm going next
because
week.
Because I don't want to go back to a theater, man.
This week, I think a Saw movie starring Chris Rock comes out. That's
no,
real. That's a real
no,
thing.
That's not a real that's thing. Did you read about it in Attrition?
I swear to God, there is a Saw movie coming out starring Samuel L. Jackson and Chris Rock.
You.
And I'm telling you, it's called Spiral from the Book of Saw.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Is there indeed a Saw movie coming out starring Chris Rock? I do not believe you. Wrath of Man with Jason Statham. I'll watch anything Guy Ritchie makes. Still, I will watch just about. I can't think of something that he would make that I wouldn't want to watch. But Wrath of Man, that's a Stugatz joint.
Well, we were asking last week the movie title that I would get most excited about, and I think it is The Wrath of Man. I mean, there's nothing like a good wrath.
How was that one not taken? Put it on, right. Put it on the poll.
It sounds
Guillermo.
Like it might be taken, just with a different star.
I just read that this is a heist movie. I feel like that's double points now.
He leads the world in heist movies. He had The Italian Job. I think there was another heist movie that he was in. Jason Statham, and he was in the Fast Five, or the Fast and Furious franchise, which also is a series of heists.
He's always stealing something.
Yeah, he's always stealing. Yeah.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Jason Statham always stealing something? And is there anything like a good wrath? Put those on the poll at Lebatard Show. I don't know.
He had the bank job. He had the bank job and the Italian job, and now Wrath of Man is a heist movie.
Cortez has put the description for Wrath of Man in the chat. If you want, I can read it.
Please read it in your best broadcaster voice. I want.
Yeah, hold on.
These are always good. This,
I need to brace myself.
If Stugatz, okay, put on a seatbelt, Stugatz. If Stugatz wasn't into, we talked about Russell Crowe and Unhinged. This was something that we did last week. But if ever there was a description that will lure Stugatz into the movie theater, even though he says he's done with going to the movies, he just wants to stream it and smoke out at home.
Yeah.
Let's hear the formal description of Wrath of Man.
Mysterious and wild-eyed, a new security guard for a cash truck surprises his coworkers when he unleashes precision skills during a heist. The crew is left wondering who he is and where he came from. Soon, the marksman's ultimate motive becomes clear as he takes dramatic and irrevocable steps to settle a score.
Irrevocable steps.
All right, Mike, first of all, do me a favor, guys. Get me the Wrath of Man trailer and let's see if it's as good as, what is it, Porter? Parker? What is the name?
Parker.
Parker. I saw, you mentioned Marksman, I think. Liam Neeson, who's got to be damn near 70 now, has a new movie he made during the pandemic in which he is fighting the cartel and his name is The Marksman.
He's been fighting the cartel for a decade.
Has he? I don't feel like he. Well, has he? I guess in Taken, it wasn't the cartel technically.
But it feels like he's been fighting some sort of cartel
that
for
was
a decade.
Human trafficking ring.
Do you have Parker back there?
Do I? It's one of my hot buttons.
Take off your clothes.
What?
I have to know if you were in a while. People took something from me. I'm gonna put this right.
So let them steal something. You steal it from them, and I get a small piece.
It's not the size, it's how you use it.
I'm trying to test it.
Who the hell are you? Parker.
Rated R. In theaters January 25th. You guys remember dubstep?
Whittingham, what was the first? What was he? Mysterious and steely eyed? What was the first phrase?
Mysterious and wild eyed.
Wild eyed.
Some wild eyes, man.
Also, Woody, you sound a little stuffed up. You may want to get that checked out.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I think my nasally voice might actually help with the reading of the movie trailers.
You can't have to read the trailer for like
First Blood.
Yeah, you can't. Your voice juxtaposed with that plot just doesn't make any sense to me. It's like they're a Jane Austen movie that we can have you.
PBS Hemingway documentary.
Yes.
Just read like The Pursuit of Happiness's description on Rotten Tomatoes.
Steel Magnolias. Go get it.
One of the things that was way different back in the time of Parker wasn't just the dubstep. It was so flippantly making casual sexual references and innuendos to your co-stars. That's just not a thing anymore, at least not in the trailer.
Take all your clothes off is where it began,
right? I
want
to see if you're wearing a wire.
That's not something that happens anymore.
But the gun sound is what makes that trailer, isn't it? Well, I mean, it really does.
That and the Skrillex light. Guy's just gone into hiding.
There was also glass just breaking.
Of course.
Yeah. And that...
Why wouldn't there be?
Yeah. The voice of the dude from Shawshank Redemption and Demolition Man. There's no one else on the planet that sounds like him.
It is. It's the warden from Shawshank, right?
Yeah. Caveman. I've done this bit before, but it just always sticks out.
It is. There is no one that sounds like him.
Who the hell are you? Caveman.
Jessica, do we lose you on this nonsense? How do you feel in general about big, dumb action movies?
I mean, I have never seen any Jason Statham movies. They just are not, like, they don't pass the Jessica worth 2 hours of my life test. I watch a lot of garbage TV, but, like, garbage movies I cannot get behind. I'm sorry.
You have to see Crank. I mean, you probably
shouldn't. I don't
want to
see Crank. I just don't want, like, are you familiar it just with- sounds like... Watching it gives me a migraine. Like watching the trailer gives me a migraine. It's so much just hard metal and yelling and just if I'm going to watch a heist movie, I'm going to watch like Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, call it a day. Oh. I'm not watching a Jason Statham heist movie. I'm sorry. It's just me.
Actually isn't a heist movie from Crank. That's not the plot of the movie. Witty, if you could read the plot of the movie for Crank, that'd be great if you can find that synopsis.
Yes, it is fast and it feels super cocainey, super methy.
Well, yeah, he's on Crank and he has to just keep it going. At one point, he stops in the middle of the street to have sex because it's kind of like Speed where he can't go below 55 miles per hour, but with his heart.
Let's find that. Are you ready to go, Whittingham? A nasally Whittingham goes and finds. We can do this with just about every Statham movie over the last 10 years, could we not?
Chev Chelios, hitman, wanting to go straight, lets his latest target slip away. Then he awakes the next morning to a phone call that informs him he has been poisoned and has only an hour to live unless he keeps adrenaline coursing through his body while he searches for an antidote.
At one point,
I am there.
He gets a defibrillator and hits himself with it.
Stugat says, I am there. The movie's been available to him for 15 years. He hasn't seen it.
I'm going again.
I mean, it's a great name, Chev Chelios.
It is a great name.
Chev Chelios.
Yeah. If you would have asked me, I would have known the answer to it. It's just a movie that stays with you.
Is he spelled it? Does he spell it? C-H-E-V?
Chev. What is Chev short for? What is Chev?
Chevy. Named after Chevy Chase. Yes.
Wow, can you imagine if Chevy Chase was Chev Chase?
Totally different.
It's a totally different
guy.
Totally
different movie.
I feel like we've been typecasting him his entire career because he's Chevy Chase.
Chev Chase hopped up on adrenaline, falls down, pratfalls at a million miles an hour. Chev Chase. Chev Chase is a totally different guy.
Does Chev Chase star in Fletch?
Chev Chase is an action star for sure. Chev Chase is a good name for an action star.
Trev Chelios has got to be a good name then.
Chelios?
Are we saying Chelios or Chelios?
Chelios, like Chelios. The old Blackhawks defenseman.
Yes. Yeah.
The hard-partying Blackhawks defenseman.
Mm-hmm. I've been saying his name wrong for my whole life.
You're then. From
You've
Chicago.
Been calling him Chris Chelios?
I guess I've just been saying his name wrong. I don't know.
Wow.
Asai.
How is Chris Chelios hard partying? He played until he was like 48. I figured he was like one of these guys that took care of his body, like with like never put anything but water in his system.
No. I'm not certain anyone in the history of hockey partied the way Roenick and Chelios did.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
serious.
Yeah, yeah. man. Yeah. I'm telling you. Yeah. You don't become that close of friends with Pearl Jam by doing something right to your body all these years. There's a party in Chicago. Chris Chelios is at it.
He's hosting it.
So between him and Jágr, is the key to longevity in hockey just being a crazy person and just partying all the time?
Probably. I'm got to find out what Patrick Marleau's off-ice antics are, but certainly got to be something like that. What's Yandy up to?
Is Jágr still playing? You guys might laugh.
Yes.
He is still playing? Is he playing like...
Yes, he is.
He's playing really well in whatever like Czech or Slavic league that he's in, I read.
Crazy.
Is he indeed 50 yet, or is he just approaching 50? Jaromir Jágr.
49, Dan.
He's 49. Yeah, he had a great season last year.
I mean, where? Where did you?
In the Czech, I mean.
In the Czech?
I'm looking up the stats
in
right
the
now.
In the Czech.
In the Czech. That is as well as Stugatz is going to do with anything in the way of geography. In the Czech.
Yeah, 29 points, 15 goals, 14 assists, and just 38 games. The check.
You saw that there's a bidding war for Wayne Gretzky as an analyst.
Yes.
ESPN bowed out of it because he was asking north of $2 million, which opens the door up for Turner. For Wayne Gretzky, I mean, I imagine, because Michael Jordan doesn't ever become available, like the absolute top of the line, arguably greatest player to ever do it. How often do they become available for analyst jobs? So that's a major signing if you get Wayne Gretzky.
Roy,
the great one.
Who dyes his hair, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Roy, he's such a bad talker, though. I don't know whether he would be good at that job. That's a job where you're paying him just to be Wayne Gretzky, which that price tag doesn't sound too exorbitant to me in terms of the splash you would make if you signed that name. But I have no idea whether he would be good at it.
If you're getting into the hockey or back into the hockey game and this guy is available to you, Mike is right. When is this guy ever available to a media company and the great one is available? You pay him north of $2 million, I think.
Well, Turner has done very well with those studio shows. I mean, they've done a great job with the baseball show, let alone the basketball show. So I expect that he might do well on the hockey show because they tend to know what to do with athletes that might not talk much.
You pay him so that people, men specifically in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, turn on the TV and they're like, it's the great one. What's he going to say? The great one. Like, that's the target demographic and it works. People are going to tune in just to be like, it's Wayne Gretzky. Look.
Although perhaps for half the money, maybe even less, you can get torts. I mean, he got fired.
Oh, torts.
Imagine getting torts.
Yeah. For a fraction of the cost, you signed yourself up for the United States of Tortorella. Wayne Gretzky is 60 years old.
Wow.
60.
Looks amazing.
Well, it's a hair dye, guys. Come on. And there might be something going on there with the eyebrows.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Paulina Gretzky posted a picture of them all at the Breakers this weekend with Dustin Johnson, who looks incredible. I mean, amazing.
Can you be a little more specific on what you mean? Elaborate just a touch on there might be something going on with the eyebrows.
Vitamin B. Botox, I think. Because this is reminiscent of when my dad did Botox and his eyebrows just started looking like Jack Nicholson's after a little bit. So this is where it gets tricky because I'm holding up a photo right now of Wayne Gretzky at the Breakers in Palm Beach. He has a little touch of gray on the sides, and I owe Jeff Passan an on-air apology. I thought his hair was way too dark. On that TV lighting, it was tough, but he sent me a selfie, and I got to see some natural color in the sideburns, and it's the first time my algorithm's been wrong. So I'm embarrassed to admit that I was wrong about Jeff Passan, but great one. If you see here, at the very top, at the root, it's far too dark for a man that's 63 years old. I remember what his hair looked like in Los Angeles and in Edmonton. It was never this dark. That's not the way it goes when you get older, when you touch 60. And also, the eyebrows are just pointing more triangular at their peak. So if you have very expressive eyebrows, I say never do it. Dan, you could never do Botox. I'll be on your ass if you do Botox. I'll know right away.
Yep.
Did you accuse Jeff Passan of having Dracula black hair dye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, He has readily admitted to me that he is on a pill to make sure he doesn't go balding. And I saw zero signs of Jeff Passan going balding. So he's obsessed with this too, it turns out. There's a collection of us that are just, that see our own flaws and project it onto society. Just like Wayne Gretzky, who looks tremendous in this photo. And so does Dustin Johnson, who also might be on that vitamin B.
Guillermo,
certainly on beard dye.
Put it on the poll, please. Is there a collection of us who see our own flaws and project them out onto society? Jessica, how did we let you skate on, how do you pronounce the name of the famous hockey player, Chris?
I've always said Chris Chelios. That is my bad.
You made him a cereal.
His daughter is actually my age. She went to Northwestern. I always thought it was Chelios. Never thought it was Chelios.
But how does it happen? See, because I have all sorts of words that I mispronounce because I've only read them and have not heard them pronounced, and so I get them wrong. But as a sports fan, as a Chicago sports fan, as somebody who I just don't understand how that happens, where you don't hear somewhere Chelios' name as a legendary name.
But we're applying our age to it. The Blackhawks she grew up with are Taser and Kaner. Those are the Blackhawks that she remembers.
Patrick Sharp, Sharpie.
Yeah, they were. That's a weird hockey thing. It's just
the Crow,
Wenny, Benny, Driggs. It's just everyone has to shorten up their nickname. But yeah, Chelios.
So it's the generation before you. So if Dan and I were talking about a 70s hockey team, we'd be okay to make that kind of mistake.
She's way too young.
But if I said the Miami Dolphins quarterback was Dan Marino, you don't think that that would be weird?
But now go back.
This Chelios was not okay. Like Dan Marino is a whole other category.
Chelios was Dan Marino.
If you called like Greasy Gricey, I might be okay with that. I think that's what Mike is saying.
Yeah, Chelios was the greatest American defenseman of his time. Chelios was pretty close to Dan Marino.
Chelios is one of the five greatest American-born hockey players of all time.
I won't fight you.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah, but what else is the list? You've got
Jeremy Roenick is another one. Yeah, Roenick. Tony Amonte is another one.
I think I'm going to put TJ Oshie on there just for
TJ Oshie's probably on it.
Yeah. Ainer.
Yeah.
Ryan Miller. By the way, happy trails, Dan. I know you saw this very emotional Ryan Miller with his parents off of his last game. Did you know he was in Anaheim? Great goalie.
And, of course, the greatest of all time, Mike Arruzzioni.
Of course.
Yes.
Mike Arruzzioni?
He's the greatest American-born hockey player of all time, Dan.
The GOAT.
I care about you, Dan. Dan, don't say it.
He cares about you so much.
He ended a war.
The Ruskies.
Stugatz, he wasn't that great.
I don't think you should call him that anymore.
Professional. He wasn't that.
He is the greatest goal in the history of hockey.
Yes, I will give you that he was a part of.
Billy Lindsay, too.
He wasn't the best player on that team, and he wasn't. And can you look up for me Mike Arruzzioni's professional stats? Because I don't believe that he would top somebody like Mike Madonna. Is American, is he not?
Oh, yeah, he is. He married Willa Ford, who used to date Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys. She had a great hit song that was on the TRL, Crap the Top 10. I think it was called I Want to Be Bad.
Why did you do that?
Because I love that song.
We used to fine you for that stuff like that.
Mike Arruzzioni never played in the NHL.
Oh, that's too bad. They missed out.
He never played. You just called Mike Arruzzioni. You put him in your top five. Don't do what?
He's not the greatest American-born hockey player of all time. I care about you.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Your top five list has a guy in it who never played American hockey or professional hockey of any kind at the highest level.
Pat LaFontaine played for your team, Stugatz.
Yeah, what about him? I mean, did he beat the Russians, though?
Exactly. Arruzzioni did it for the love of country, Dan, not for money.
Right.
Phil Housley. Come on, man.
Oh, Housley. Great American.
Good. Was that the Blues, Roy?
So what was the first line for
Sabres.
For the United States in the mid-90s when they would try to take apart the Canadian national team? I think it would be Roenick, Hull, Amonte, Brian Leach, and Chelios. And Richter.
I cannot believe that Stugatz put in his top five a guy who did
big
not.
Big goal, Dan.
It was massive. Yeah. Many are saying.
Big goal, guys, to the finals.
Yeah. That's right. They didn't even win it all.
They had to beat Finland.
Yeah. I'm with Stugatz on this one. I'm also putting Phil Kessel in my Mount Rushmore.
Phil Kessel.
What kind of ally are you? Chelios or whatever you call him?
I thought you were going to pronounce him Kessel. You should have.
How do you expect someone who doesn't know how to pronounce their own own last name to pronounce other people's last names. Come on.
Last name. Lame.
Lame.
Yeah. Lame.
There's no precedent, Roy, for Phil Kessel, right? Well, actually, Maradona, probably, in soccer. In terms of someone that just treated their body that poorly.
Well, not in hockey. I don't know any fat people playing hockey outside of Phil Kessel.
And he's great. He's tremendous.
That's a great conversation. Greatest fat athlete ever. Who is the most accomplished fat guy in the history of athletics? I know we've got our guys like Bartolo Colon that people like, but when you're talking about excellence, like legitimate excellence where you're confused, how can that guy be so good at what he or she does?
I think most would say like Babe Ruth, right?
Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
Kirby Puckett.
Kirby. Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to go the first Ronaldo.
James Harden.
Barkley.
Babe Ruth.
Barkley was not fat.
Round mound of rebounds.
When Shaq fat?
When he was excellent, Barkley was not fat. Yeah. Barkley was fat in college. He was not fat.
He got a little thicker, though, towards the Rockets years.
But in terms of his Hall of Fame excellence, when he was leading the league in rebounding and being MVP caliber, he was not in any way fat. Yeah. He was thick.
Shaq got fat and was still dominant. But when he was at his absolute apex, he was in shape, air quotes.
Most of the people here don't have any recollection of skinny Shaq, right? None of you guys know what it is that Shaq looked like early in his career when he would be one of the first guys who would freak you out because he would go coast to coast as a 7-footer, and you'd be like, how does anyone get in the way of that?
Oh, he was like totally terrifying to have your team play against because he was super athletic. I remember the game that he brought down I remember seeing the highlights on SportsCenter of him tearing down the rim. He played angry, and he played heavier, stronger, more athletic than everybody else.
When he got into shape and then developed some low-post moves, like it just wasn't all force under the net, just grabbing rebounds and throwing them down for dunks. Like he developed that little turnaround baseline jumper. Like he became nearly unstoppable. It was amazing.
He didn't do that until he got to the Lakers, though. He didn't do crafted parts of his game. Do you remember it all? I wonder, this is going way back in the machine, but I remember people being confused, Stugat, speaking of fat guys, because they had both those guys at LSU. They had Shaquille O'Neal and Stanley Roberts, and people didn't know at the time who it is that would be better.
Right. Yeah. There was a big debate. It was kind of like Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning coming. These guys were on the same team, as Dan pointed out, but a lot of people thought Stanley Roberts was going to be the better player than Shaquille O'Neal. Now, Roberts was okay. I think he played 5 or 6 years in the NBA, but of course wasn't Shaq. But
the
it was
fat,
funny.
The fat basketball player is always somebody that ends up getting rooted for, but you can't in that sport really be good, right? We were confused by Boris Diaw doing things in the finals against the Heat, but you can't be excellent in that sport if you're just somebody whose weight we make fun of.
Should we find the best fat athlete in every sport and then put them up against each other? Like, I think baseball, it's between Babe Ruth and Tony Gwynn. Like, is Babe Ruth fat? Tony Gwynn kind of fat.
Tony Gwynn was fat.
Yeah, what about Bartolo Colon or like David Ortiz?
Yeah, but once you have Babe Ruth established,
Big Poppy is a good
David
one.
David Ortiz is a good one. Do you classify him as fat? Because
baseball is weird, though. Like, you can't tell me. Like, John Kruk simply can't exist in other sports. You just can't.
Krucky.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Should John Kruk have played first base with a heater in his mouth? Because that was the famous joke from Kruk when somebody said he shouldn't be smoking. A woman came up to him and said, "You can't smoke, you're an athlete." And he retorted, "I'm not an athlete, I'm a baseball player."
Zach Randolph, fat? Zebo.
Zach Randolph, fat.
Oh, chubby. Thick. Yeah, I'm not going to tell him that, but.
Nobody
no,
is.
I would never no say that.
Nobody is going to say that to him.
And very much
scrub this, please.
Before he scrubs us.
Before his friends beat you with a pool cue.
Yeah, it's like word association.
Who would be the greatest of the fat basketball players? Because when we think of Shaq fat later in his career, whether he's wearing a Celtics uniform or a Cavs uniform, you don't think of him as excellent back then, even in a Heat uniform.
How about Boogie Cousins?
No.
Not fat?
No.
Not fat enough?
Not for me.
Oh.
What are we classifying Zion as?
Fat.
No, come on.
Overrated.
No, he's so put together. I am curious to see how it ages.
Robert Traylor.
The tractor.
But he wasn't that good, though.
He wasn't. R.I.P.
Yeah.
I hope. I mean, Baron Davis? Hope, but I might have.
No, you got it right. I hope. You got really? It right. He is no longer with us.
What a relief that he is dead.
Phew. Too soon there.
Feel better, Mike?
Hey, that what a weird thing for you to hope for. It's a strange way to start a Monday. You rooting for Robert Tractor Trailer to be dead, hoping for him to be dead.
$50 is a lot now. Redoing my garage.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.